Welcome to another episode of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. My name is Shelley and I am your host for this episode. And it's just not any episode. It is my 50th episode, the day before my 58th birthday. How exciting is that? So what I've decided to do for the next two episodes actually is take 1 to 2 minute snippets of each of my 20 guests that I've had on throughout the year. This episode is going to include 10 of my guests, and if you look down in the show notes, you'll see who they are in the order that they appear on this episode, plus the links to the interviews that I have done with them. I listened to these episodes again, and I was just so honored and humbled and grateful that I met these women and that these are women that I consider friends, that I still talk to. And I'm just so happy to be able to bring you this quick compilation of some of the things that they said that I thought were really thought-provoking. Now, there were lots of things that these women said that I could have included. It was really hard to narrow down, but as I listened, I went with what really struck me in the moment that I was in. So I hope that you enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed putting all these things together over the past year.
She's bold. She's sassy. She's a woman over 50 living a life she designed on purpose with purpose. And now here's your host of Women Over 50, a Life Redesigned podcast, Shelley Dryman.
And then there are three questions that you can ask yourself. But the first one is, you ask yourself with the thought, is this even true? Because we have up to 80,000 thoughts a day, but you know, we don't know what we're thinking. So paying attention is the first thing to help. But the second thing is to start to challenge your thoughts. The other one is the other one is, what am I making this mean? That so often, and it doesn't fit with every single situation, but it fits with most of them, because you realize when someone cuts you off in traffic, I'm making that mean that they just took a jab at me personally because, no, they were going to cut off whoever was right there. It's not personal, you know. So what am I making this mean? And that can be really powerful when you're dealing with situations where a lot of us tend to take things personally. We hear somebody whispering and we think they're talking about us, or, you know, different things like that. We all do those things. So, you know, what am I making this mean is the second one. The other one is, what can I learn from this? So when you ask yourself, there's something physiological that happens when you're in a moment of being chased by a bear or a bill collector, you get stuck in your amygdala. When you ask that question, it moves to the front part of your brain where you can start to think a little more logically. You get out of the emotional part of your brain and move into the logical part. And that's a time that I recommend people start to journal, even if you're not a journaler, to, you know, write some of that stuff down, because even that action is something that starts to take you out of the emotion of it.
Scripting, journaling, start writing the kind of things that you want for your life, because that opens the creativity. It gets us thinking about positive things. And the more we can focus on the things that we want, we don't think about the things that we don't have or the things that aren't working. So if we start scripting it, we can actually start moving in the direction that we want to go. And the more we can focus on what it is we truly want to bring into our life, the easier it starts to show up.
What I realized through my healing and through this journey and this transformational time was I had no decision-making power in my life. I had surrendered that power over to everybody around me. The first half of my life, it was given over to my mom. And then I had gone to the place where I had just surrendered it over to my husband. And so they would make the decisions for me. I literally had no idea how to do that myself. And I've heard people say that, you know, depression is anger turned inward. I think my therapist even told me that. I never really felt angry. I don't really consider myself to be like, you know, this anger person, but I know maybe because I didn't know how to handle that anger. But I honestly believe it's when we don't have the decision making power.
So taking that time, all of us are running around and we're doing this, that, and the other thing that we never really take the time to sit down and think about what we're thinking about. Our minds just go. I think when we take our time and we kind of analyze those thoughts, I do it by writing it down. And I actually recommend that everyone else does it that way. Each one of my programs starts with get a journal. That's step one, because I'm going to have you write all kinds of stuff, whether you're a writer or not. This is just for you. I don't have to read it. I never have to read it. And you can burn it when you're done if you want to. But there is something about getting everything out on paper and realizing when you have a triggering emotion or a negative emotion or you're not feeling good, write down what your thought is in that moment that's creating that emotion. And it's only when you do that that you can start to figure out, okay, now what can I do about this thought?
Believe. It's your belief. Believe that you can have an amazing second half of life. Unfortunately, I see too often the 50 plus, 60 plus, 70 plus woman going, I'm too old for that now. I could never do that. I can't get up off the floor. It's too late for me. No, I'm just accepting where I am now. It's too late. No. We have to have a belief and faith in ourselves that our body wants to be healthy. It wants to age well into that second half or third act of life. So first off, it starts here. If you have the belief and the deep heart belief that it can be better, no matter where you're at right now, no matter where your health is or where your body mobility is now, we have the ability to be better. So you don't have to lose your mobility, your body strength, your bone density. We can work on all of that as we age.
As women, we are always taking care of our husbands, our children, our jobs, everyone else. But when it comes to loving ourselves, that's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, I was brought up the good old country way, the women serve the men and blah, blah, blah. You always took care of everyone else.
Yeah.
But when I learned to start loving myself and putting myself first, that I'm realizing that I was doing this for myself, not my husband, not anyone else. I was doing this for my health and realize how I felt. That motivated me to keep going. That's what got me to world championships.
You know, I think that's so crazy. Mm-hmm. Because who is more brilliant than women over 50? When you think about like even exactly. The village elders of tribal nations, they look to the women to hold the wisdom. First of all, our memories last longer. And so we remember the things that we were supposed to learn. So now over 50 is the time you have the most value to offer that you've ever had in your life. You have the most experience. The most poignant stories. You've been through so much that other people are just beginning to scratch the surface of. Now is the time you have so much richness to share and to also be the time that you're the most silent. I don't understand.
We have so much knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about kind of the gap generation that we are, the trailblazers that we are. There's things that we know that the generations coming up behind us will never know because they've always had like technology stuff. And so there's things that we had to learn and figure out all by ourselves, like how to get somewhere using a Thomas guide instead
exactly.
of instead of Siri telling us turn by turn.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? There's so much that we know that we can then pass on and inspire this next generation. It would be a colossal waste for us to simply say, well, I've done my deal. I put in my time and now I'm just going to sit around and do nothing.
And
it doesn't take as much to start things like it did 20 years ago. I mean, right. Look, you started a podcast.
I would offer the opportunity to stand in front of a mirror, close or no close, but to look straight into your own eyes and to say, I love you, Jarrah, or insert your own name. Mm-hmm. And to actually name the qualities of yourself that you don't love and acknowledge that. Say, Jarrett, I love you. You're fat and your bank account is negative and I love you.
Yeah.
And then also to name the good qualities about yourself too. So to name both the good and the bad, like, Jarrett, I love you. Your hair is rocking today and I love you. But we need to acknowledge our weaknesses and love them. And we need to acknowledge our strengths and love them as well to encompass our shadows and our light.
When therapy is good, it's really good. Yeah. And it can suck just like anything. But when it's good and you learn that sort of external processing and having an advocate, man, because especially if you're in a giantly dysfunctional family, you don't have any advocates. I had no advocates, that I had to be my own, you know, and I was not in very good shape to be my own advocate. If I'd had, you can play if all over the place. That's not so, but yeah, I would definitely say finding someone, a coach even, could be good if you, you know, something like that, someone who's an advocate for you.
Thank you for joining Shelley today on Women Over 50, a Life Redesign podcast. Be sure to join the ever-growing community of like-minded women on Facebook. That's the Women Over 50, a Life Redesigned Facebook group. Join today.